Genesis chapter 27, or Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. We want to pick it up here in the midst of the creation, or at the end of the creation. So God created man in his own image, Genesis 1, 27. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In chapter 2 of this same book, we come to verse number 22. Verse number 21, rather. Let's read there. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then we come to chapter 3 with the fall, sin, the bill of goods that Satan sold and beguiled Eve with, our father Adam walking headlong into it. He knew full well what he was doing, the scripture tells us. It says in verse number 16 of chapter 3, as the Lord dealt with each one, he dealt with the serpent, he dealt with Satan, he dealt with the woman we see here. And under the woman, verse 16 of chapter 3, he, that is God, said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. In verse number 20 of this same chapter, we see this, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of the living. She was the mother of all living. This morning, I want to preach a message. Yes, ladies and mothers, young women that are here, our focus is upon you today. Thank God for mothers obedient to our Lord's will. Thank God for mothers obedient to our Lord's will. As we take a look here and the way that the Lord created things, and then our sin, our transgression, and our father Adam, and what that's brought into us into today, we see the plan and the purpose and the design of the Lord here. The Lord created two genders, and that's all there is. Let there be no confusion about that. He gave instruction to those, to man and to woman, in that bond of marriage to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That is the sign of God. In verse number 22 of chapter 2, in verses 22 through 24, we see there in verse 24 that the design of God is a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. Leave and cleave, because they're going to be one flesh. That's the design of God in the family, in the home. The first institution, right from the get-go, necessary, the institution that is that foundation and building block of all society and all of the world in regards to mankind. After sin, we see that the Lord said, because of sin, I'm going to multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. It's difficult for women to carry children and to be expecting and to go through those things, to deliver a child. It's difficult. It's work indeed. Men, it's hard for us to even have an inkling of comprehension how that is. And the Lord said, because of sin, because of death that's come because of sin, there's going to be a necessity for there to be more born. He said, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. But as we know, barring the effects of sin and that, as the scripture tells us, a woman has travail and she looks to bring forth that child. She's sorrowful in it. We've all known different cases and different extremes and all that. But when the baby's born, she's contented. And she is, from that labor and that caring of that child, for one whose heart is right and natural in the design of our Lord, she's forgets about all that thing in the past. And so we see the Lord saying that, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. It says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Because of sin and because of the design necessary for that, the Lord said, wives, your desire is to be towards your husband. You're going to be one flesh. And there's going to be that bond that is there. And Adam called his wife's name Eve there in the latter part of that chapter 3 because she was the mother of all living. The design of God for Eve and all her daughters we see right here in the Scripture. A blessed design, even with sin at hand, it is a blessed design indeed. The Lord knows what we need. The blessing of submission to and desire for our Lord's economy. You know, the world and Satan has sold a bill of goods that mothers, being a mother, is just passe, blasé, and just low ebb. But you know what? God says it's number one. It's number one. It's the right way for it to be. God says this is the place of blessing, and He's equipped women for this. Submission to and desire for our Lord's way. Thank God for mothers obedient to our Lord's will. For those mothers over time that have embraced our Lord's design and are content with it. Contentment with godliness is great gain, the Scripture says. We want to take a look here in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 5, as Brother Paul, and Brother Paul is he's given a bad rap that he's a woman hater because he's one that wants to bind women and choke women down. That's not true. The brother is giving guidance right according to the design of the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we read in verse number 14, as he's writing to our brother to how he should pastor and what he should pass on. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 14, he says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. In this, give none occasion to the adversary, that is Satan and that is the world, to speak reproachfully about their pursuits and their behavior. Praise our Lord for women that desire and pursue such. To pursue marriage, and understand I mean that in the right way, according to what the Lord would have. We've all known those that have pursued spouses in a wrong way, men doing so, and women doing so, and parents doing so for their children. It's no good. Need to follow the Lord in these things. And so you understand that context that we come from. That in marriage, there to be the bringing forth of children, according to as the Lord gives. And the woman is there, the younger women, he says, I will therefore that they guide the house and do these things, pursue these things, prepare for these things according to our Lord. Praise our Lord for women that desire and pursue this. Now understand, we're not naive in understanding that the design of our Lord, it takes a man for a woman to be a wife and a mother, doesn't it? She's got to have a husband. And so there doesn't need to be a wrong pursuit of that. But you know what? A young woman can desire these things of the Lord as she waits on the Lord for a husband. But you know what? There can be the temptation indeed to not want these things. I don't want any part of this. The Lord knows. And may our hearts be bent to that which is right. Praise be to God for young women that desire the design of our Lord and wait on Him to fill it in their lives. Maybe they would have some other pursuit in the meantime, and there needs to be busy. There needs to be business, and there needs to be things that are pursued. But a young woman, a child of God, a daughter of the Lord, looking towards what the Lord has for them, maybe pursuing another thing in the meantime, and then when the Lord brings that along, they're willing to lay that aside for the sake of the design of the Lord. God is pleased with that. And praise God for young women that desire what our Lord's design is for them. Parents, it's our responsibility to prepare our daughters and to teach our daughters and direct our daughters just in that. Remember, the way of the world, the way of man, leads nothing but to misery and death and sin and transgression against God. But God's design is the place indeed of blessing. You know what? It is so that for young women, sometimes they have husbands that just aren't cooperative to this. Thank God for a man that wants to do his part to pursue what's right and to have his wife be in that place that the Lord has made. I understand there's all kinds of different combinations at hand. Do you know that we have in our day those that wish to be a mother without a husband? It's inordinate. It's against the design of the Lord. There are those that want to be mothers without having a husband, without having a father for the children. It's against the design of the Lord. We need to desire. Ladies, you need to desire the way of the Lord. Maybe there are those that are just not able to have children. That's the case with some. But you know what? In the providence of our Lord, it's just such that they cannot have children. You know what? Our Lord blesses the right desire, even being found in that. We know, see those examples in the Scripture about John the Baptist, mom and dad. You and I have heard of different cases where a couple just couldn't have children, and then they would look to adopt, and next thing you know, they have children. You know, the Lord knows, or maybe they would never have children. But what is the desire? The Lord, I believe, honors the desire and the pursuit and the prayer of that. God's will for women. Next, we want to take a look at the law of thy mother. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 16, the Lord's speaking to us in this moral context, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Yes, he's speaking to Israel, but this is a moral command unto mankind. Our Lord has designed the family, and children should honor their parents in every way. They're under the directive of their parents. And the job of parents, one of the aspects of the job of parents is to teach their children to submit to authority. That when they become adults, they will have clear understanding that they are to submit to the authority of God Almighty. Once they get up there and they begin to express their own will in their own way, if that has not been fed and if that hasn't been shaped by the Word of God, they will go on their own way, a wicked way, that will lead to nothing but destruction. And may God help us that we see that. The law of thy mother. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Let's take a look over here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me and read this. Proverbs chapter 1. And you know what? As the young ladies that are here, and mothers that are here this morning, maybe there's something that the Lord will speak to you about that you need to change. You know, repent of that and get it right with the Lord and go on the right track. You know, we're all in that shape. We all have things in our life that we're at fault and that we're lax in, or maybe we just don't know. And when the Lord shows us, may we repent of that and turn on and go for it. Go forward in it. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The law of your mother, the law of a mother, needs to be heeded by children, by her children. In Proverbs chapter 6, turn over a few pages here, we see this. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Speaking about that ornamental sense as we saw in chapter 1. Keep them with you and keep them close. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment, the righteous commandment of parents, is a lamp. And the law is light. You know, they come from God. And the parents pass them on to the children. And reproofs of instruction from the Lord through the parents are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. The law of thy mother. In Proverbs chapter 29, we see here in verse number 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Thank God for mothers that do have a law. Thank God for mothers that do have a law that they've got from the Lord. and the instruction and direction of their children, to guide their children towards righteousness, and to work against the rebellion and the foolishness that's bound in a child's heart. Praise God. Praise God for mothers that do have that. You know, we live in a day that many don't. They have the thinking of the world. They have a misunderstanding about own fault in their own lives. And they say, well, I did it. Why? I can't say anything to my children and not pursuing that or doing that. No, tell them what God says. And admit to your own fault. That's what we need to do. I was wrong, children. I and you need to follow what God says. Praise God for a mother that could lay down the law. You know what? My mother told me and instructed me what was wrong and right. My mom and dad are here today. I kind of put them on the spot. But there came a day with my mother when I laughed at her giving me a whipping. That was a mistake. I wouldn't advise young children to laugh at their mothers when they give them a whipping. Because you know what she said? She had a big old grin on her face. She said, wait till your daddy gets home. Oh, man, I was had. I didn't think about that. And see, that's that foolishness of children. They don't think things out. Praise God for a mother. A mother. What is there? There's that song. I was thinking about that song. I didn't look it up. Folk singer who sang it and mentioned about a old loading 16 tons raised by, I'm not going to say all of that, but a high-pitched woman make you toe the line. I tell you what, praise God for a mother that'll make a child toe the line. Toe the line. Saves children from destruction. This brings us to the thought of what the teaching that mothers do. In Titus chapter 2, let's take a look over here. Titus, this is all from the Word of God. This is not Brother Jim's invention. This is not optional. This is what the Lord says in His Word. And may we take it to ourselves in every way. The Lord, it being Mother's Day, we're focusing on you, gals. But you know what? Men, we have it too. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 1, we read here, but speak thou things which become sound doctrine. That's the instruction to Brother Titus as he pastors. That the aged men be sober, that they be grave, that the aged men be temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Got a lot of things to be sound in, fellas. Listen to this. The aged women likewise. Well, I'm not an aged woman. I tell you what, all things being equal, you're heading there, ladies. I'm sorry. You're heading there, so go ahead and prepare. Get ready. It's happening. And so be looking towards these things if you're not necessarily aged. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. Not false accusers, no lying. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. The teaching that mothers do. That they may teach, listen, that they may teach the young women to be sober themselves. To really understand what's going on. Not to have the heads in the clouds, not full of the vanity of the world and all the entertainment and the media and all that. But have a sense from what God says, the way God looks at things. And to love their husbands. You mean a woman's got to be taught to love her husband? Sure does. A man's got to be taught to love his wife. We're taught of the Lord, ultimately. You know what? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Really? Yeah. It goes on to say to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now understand, that doesn't mean a husband's carrying around a stick and looking to swat everybody he can come in contact with. The directive towards husbands is love their wives the way Christ loved the church. Some misunderstand that. To be obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what it's telling me? Is when a wife and a mother is not obedient to their husband, the word of God is blasphemed. When a husband doesn't direct their house well, the word of God is blasphemed. Understand that. Look at the teaching that mothers do. Behavior that becometh holiness is what the aged women are to be teaching. Right behavior. Not a bossy, not a sassy woman. but behavior that becometh holiness. Is the behavior a match for the holiness of God? Not false accusers, not given to much wine, having their senses about them. Teachers of good things, not evil things. Teaching the young women to be sober themselves. Teaching the young women to love their husbands like they do. How do we teach? There's an element of teaching by what we say, but I tell you what, we really teach by what we do. Because what we do is what we believe. That's just the way it is with everybody. To teach the young women to love their children. Sometimes your children will make you want to make you think you're going to want to pull out all your hair. We need to love them. We need to direct them. We need to discipline them and take care of them and teach them that they might be a blessing to us and not a terror. The children left to their own can be a terror indeed. To love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. The teaching that mothers do. You know why? We live in a day of misplaced affection, don't we? In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, the scripture says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection." It's affection that's out of whack. It's affection that's not appropriate and right. We've been saved from those things. In Romans chapter 1, verse 31, it says about these that are wicked, that have been given over to a reprobate mind, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it speaks about these without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, and the such. The way it'll be amongst mankind in the world without Christ. You know what? It can be that we can have misplaced affection. One thing that just really blows my mind in this day is pets referred to as children. I worked with a gal years ago that had a dog and it broke its leg. And she came to work and she said, "Jim, I really understand now. We had had Natalie and maybe Kate. Or we might have had Miranda at that time. And we had at least Natalie and Katie." And she said, "Jim, I really understand now what it's like to have a child." She had no child of her own. I won't call her name. I said, "You don't have any idea what it's like to have a child because that dog is not from you. You may have sympathy and empathy for that dog, and that's fine. The dog should be cared for if you want to keep the dog. But that dog is nowhere like a child. Nowhere at all. Like a child." Pets referred to as children by those that have that maybe have children or don't have children. And then you know what? Children treated as pets. Doesn't that happen today too? Indeed, it's inordinate. Praise God for mothers that have something to teach and for young women that receive it. I'm reminded of this passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. I invite you to turn over here and take a look at this. 1 Peter chapter 3. The instruction of our Lord and how a godly woman and a wife is to be. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." A man that does not listen to the input of his wife is foolish because she is part of him. She will see things that he doesn't see. She'll have sensitivity to things that he won't have sensitivity to. It's the way it is. One flesh bonded together. But you know what? The responsibility of it all lies with you and me, fellas. Our daddy Adam said he knew what to do. Not listen to the Lord, but went after his own way and listening to his wife. And you know what? Our Lord has laid that on us. Praise be to God for wives and women that are there to keep the home and to guide the home. But you know what? You and I, men, we're ultimately responsible. No matter who we delegate the work to, we are responsible for it. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, following that lead, that if any obey not the word," those that are without Christ, husbands without Christ, they may without the word be won by the conversation, the way of life of the wise. while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Chastity. This wife has reserved herself for her husband. She's not interested in that which is licentious and that which is wicked in the world. But she reserves herself for her husband, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting or braiding of the hair or the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. He's not saying that those things are not allowed. But if that's all the substance that there is, then what's important is lacking. Of course, a woman should fix herself up and wear nice clothes appropriate for whatever's going on or what they're attending, but not being loose or not being revealing and revealing of nakedness and such as that. He says here, let the focus be on the hidden man of the heart, verse number 4. That which is not corruptible, even the ornament, there's that ornament again, it's like jewels, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, meek does not mean weak. And the Lord is not saying, and the Scripture is not saying, is that women are to be mice. It's not saying that. But they're to follow the economy that our Lord has given. Take their place by their husband for the benefit of their home and their family. And following the Lord and using His directive and His guideline in this, an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, not loud, not boastful, not proud, which is in the sight, these things in the sight of God are of great prize. For after this manner, an old time, here's an example, holy women also who trusted in God, they adorned themselves this way, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. We live in a day that many women are afraid to follow the way of the Lord. So I've got capacity and capability that exceeds that of my husband. But what has God given us to do? What has God given us to pursue? See, understand the economy of the Lord. A woman doesn't have to be like a man to get that blessing or greater. A woman, like men, need to fill what the Lord has given us. That's the place. Don't look at it the way the world looks at it. He said, the holy women of old adorned themselves in this way, being in subjection. It says here that Sarah obeyed and followed her husband. Likewise, verse number 7, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker, physically weaker vessel. Listen to this. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know what? If our relationship and our marriages, or even the pursuit of young people in pursuing and looking towards marriage is not right, prayers can be hindered. Prayers can be hindered. But you know what? We follow our Lord's pattern. They'll be heard. We live in a day thinking of this thought about this chaste conversation coupled with fear and a meek and quiet spirit. We live in a day of loudness. We want to have our say. We want to be loud about it. Make sure everybody hears. I heard a woman recently decrying poor treatment by her employer in a parking lot for all to hear recently. Telling on and on about how they were done wrong by their employer. Loud. Angry. Upset. It doesn't follow the guideline of what the Lord gives. You and I are not to be involved in riotous behavior like that. We've got a conflict. Indeed, we might need to bear our hearts to those around us. But we need to do so in a right way that won't bring condemnation and a bad word upon our Lord. Anyone doing so and saved is not honoring to their Savior. Justification for offense. Understand this principle. We may have justification to be offended. That can happen. But you and I never have justification for poor behavior. We're never justified for poor behavior. Me and you and everybody in between. And so may the Lord help in the teaching that mothers do. Praise God for mothers that have something to teach, and for young women that receive it. Next, we want to take a look here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 about our attitude toward older women, our attitude towards women. It speaks about it here. I find this interesting. The economy of our Lord is so different than what you and I experience in this world. 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says here in verse number 1, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." Our relationship one to another here in the church. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. There's a way of thinking that we need to have one towards another. Not the thinking of this world, but the thinking of our Lord. And our attitude towards older women is in our church is that of mothers. And those that are our age as sisters, and maybe even those that are younger as daughters, well, we men. And one for another. That goes for the younger women, thinking of the elder as mothers. That's the economy of our Lord in a pure way. In Mark chapter 10, very interesting, we ran across this here recently, and the Lord just continues to bring it up, and that's the way the Lord does sometimes. He speaks to us in a couple different ways and facets about a particular passage. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Brother Peter says here, we've left it all. We've left it all and have followed thee. What are we going to have? Listen to what the Lord says. And Jesus answered and said, verse 29 of Mark 10, "Verily, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers." Isn't that something? I have my mother that I dearly love, and she is my mother, and I was born to her. But you know what? I have many mothers in the faith, too. Our Lord promised that, along with sisters and along with brethren, indeed. Notice he doesn't say any fathers. We've got one. And lands and with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. Praise God for our mothers of the flesh that are obedient to our Lord's will. Praise God for them. Thank God for them. To our mothers in the flesh that are obedient to our Lord's will. And indeed for our mothers also in the Spirit too. In Proverbs chapter 31, as we conclude the message, praise God. Praise God. Thanks be to God for mothers obedient to our Lord's will. In Proverbs chapter 31, and you ladies that are familiar with the Bible at all, you know the standard that is put forth here by this woman. And understand, I think that the reason there's not a standard like this spelled out just this way for men is because the Lord Jesus Christ is our standard. So understand, the men are not off the hook. Some would say that it's just unattainable what this woman does. And I think it's ideal what is listed here. But you know what? It's well for the Lord to put a goal before us to look to achieve. And that's the way that it is. Listen to what the Lord and the Scripture says about this mother. In Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 25, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." Why? She sought to be obedient to the Lord and His way, His word in her life. In being a wife and being a mother, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, because she's got it from the Lord. She sought Him. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Remember that law of a mother? She looketh well to the ways of her household. She keeps it and guides it, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's busy. She's busy. Oh, she can take time to relax, because she's done her work. She's done the things that are before her to do. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Listen, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Thank God for mothers obedient to our Lord's will. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what? Because it's due her. It's due her. because she has pursued well in her Lord. In Mark chapter 3, the passage I was talking about earlier, got ahead of myself, we see here again along the economy of our Lord and the thinking of our Lord, and an admonition to young women, to older women, to mothers, those that are mothers, those that are grandmothers, those that are young women, maybe looking to be a mother one day, according to the design of the Lord. Listen to what our Lord says here in the day of his ministry. Verse 31 of Mark 3. There came then his brethren and his sister, that is Jesus, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. This is our Lord's mother and stepbrothers and stepsisters, half-brothers, half-sisters. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother, and thy brethren without seek for thee. Verse 33. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? The Lord asks this question to them. He's got a crowd around him in this house or in this place. His mother Mary and his brothers and sisters, they're near. They want to talk to him. They want to see him. They just can't get to him. So they send a messenger to him, one that can cut through the crowd, one of the brethren, one of the apostles probably, and they cut through the crowd, and he tells this to the Lord. And the Lord says to them all, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him. So our Lord takes this crowd and he looks about on them all. You know, it takes a little more time than what you and I can read it. How big was the crowd? He looks about on them all. He looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. He said, the men are my brethren. The women that are younger or my age are my sisters. And those indeed that are older are my mother. He says that do the will of God. In Luke chapter 8, verse 21, the same account, it's recorded here, which hear the word of God and do it. Thank God for mothers obedient to our Lord's will. Thank God, thanks be to God for mothers that desire and do the will of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for them.